Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Today we're going to conclude our series on Encounter Ministries, and basically we started it in November when Encounter Ministries, which is a evangelization ministry out of Plymouth, Michigan, came to Lexington and put on a school of healing. But as I've said in other shows, and what I say fairly often is, they're just an example of how God can use average people. And so I'm using them as an example, like I would use Renewal Ministries as an example, as I would use, Ralph Martin, Peter Herbig, Sister Ann Shields, Debbie Herbig, Dr. Mary Healy, etc. As I would use people like Sister Mary, Miriam James Hydland was another example of how God uses just everybody and anybody. The only qualification is to love the Lord and say, here I am. So I'm using them as an example. And they came to Lexington and they put us through a school of healing, and it was great. And in our prior show, we talked about the focus that we have on healing and on the gifts of the Spirit is just the second part of the basic message of salvation. We talked about how the proclamation of the kingdom is important. That's what we hear at every Mass, right? At the proclamation of the word. That's what you would hear if you come to Bible study, if you study the word. But that has to be borne out by a demonstration. So the proclamation is not only the proclamation of the content of the faith, it's an encounter with the person of Jesus, the basic message of salvation. Then you turn yourself over to God, he gives you the gifts, and then you go out into the community and you build up the community through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it's two parts, proclamation plus demonstration equals salvation. And God knows, and I think we're slowly coming to understand that our culture today is really going to be evangelized by nothing less than signs and wonders. It needs both. It can't just have the part, the moralizing part, that it's had since Trent, since the right. Council of Trent, right? Council of Trent was basically a very heavy shift or codification of the shift that had occurred over the centuries from the church operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the very early church. The church had basically evangelized the world, right? In signs and wonders. That church. Trent kind of codified more of a catechetical model. So if you instruct them, if you educate them, we're going to assume they're already converted. We're going to assume they're already evangelized because they live in Christian communities, because in the end, the whole world was Christian at that point, the whole West. Then the world will be evangelized that way. Well, that model no longer works. If you want to read some books about it, there's Evangelical Catholicism by George Weigel. There is Forming Intentional Disciples by Sherry Waddell. There's From Maintenance to Mission, Moving Your Parish, Divine Renovation by Father James Milan. There's a slew of books that basically have detailed the need to kind of let go of the old Tridentine model of church, to shifting into an apostolic model of church. So the apostolic model of church we need to shift back to is the exact same early church that evangelized the world, right? So right. Our world has kind of come, 360 has come back to the kind of environment that the early church broke into, right? Atheistic, agnostic, hostile, hedonistic, consumeristic, hostile to the individual, etc. You know, kind of given over into pleasure, given over into esoteric ideas. There are a lot of similarities, really, between this culture and the first century AD culture of the West. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is conversion. You know, I mean, I always say conversion, conversion, conversion. Why do we find the church in this mess that we're in right now with the just falling down on the job of a lot of people who should have known better? You know, why do we find certain cultures of just sin? I mean, I don't know how else to call it. Sin, corruption, sexual perversion, etc. within the very structures the church set up to protect us from this kind of stuff. Well, because of sin and because of lack of conversion. So
conversion is a daily thing. You don't receive one conversion, you're fine. This is something that each and every day you want to work on that. You want to continue that. You want to be open to a deeper conversion, a deeper openness to the Lord in all things. I mean, you talk a lot of times about your prayer life and everything. I mean, there's a whole package of things that you pick up and do day in and day out to keep yourself in that lane, in the narrow lane directed to the Lord, and not veer off and not be, not let the world and everything that's going on divert your attention.
That's right. So what are some of the kinds of things that we could be doing daily, Mary Lou?
Well, I think each and every day it's a prayer life. It's giving yourself to the Lord that day. In my particular situation, I think that in my prayer life, in my weekly thing is I will hit, you know, masses during the week. I will go to mass on Sunday. I will go to adoration. The daily readings for the day, Magnificat. I mean, try to state, you know, times of the day to directly go to the Word, to go to something that has to do with the Lord, and to keep focused on that. Because if I don't, then everything else, all the issues and problems and, you know, that you have to deal with in the world today consume you. It's too much to go out and take care of everything that's going on in the world. Just turn on TV. I mean, it's just in your face. All, as you mentioned earlier, all the sin that's going on in the world and everything that's accepted. And, you know, and I'm one that does not like how the language is being changed to mean different things. And one of my pet peeves recently is every form I've seen lately, instead of having spouse, it has partner on it. So, you know, it's what's so disturbing is that the family is the evil one is really trying to destroy the family. And it's so in order to combat that, I have to stay in a prayer life. I have to be consistent. I have to be optimistic, and I have to be open to what the Lord asks me to do in my little lane to further the kingdom.
And I would say, some good word of wisdom is, do not focus on what Jesus is not doing. You know, like how we have that list of things that God should be doing this and should be doing that. And he should be sweeping that nation into the ocean, and he should be, you know, compensating those people for their sin, etc. Like how we always tell people, you know.
Right.
But our faith is going to be fed by focusing on what God is doing and not by what he is not doing.
So, well, you know, where evil prevails, grace prevails all the more. And if there's ever a time for exceeding grace, it's now. And that's why I think this is so important for people to be aware of the proclamation, the demonstration, and all of that, because it's through that conversion will take place and the world will be changed.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Little old me.
Yep. He will use little old me and little old you.
Exactly. He uses the people who say yes, and they don't have to have PhDs in theology. And they could have just said yes to Jesus yesterday or today.
That's right.
He uses who is at hand. Just read the scriptures, right? So what we would encourage you to do, brothers and sisters, is bring your discouragement and your confusion to Jesus. Bring all your disappointments to him. Only he can give us the answer. And only he will show us what it is that we're missing in the picture that we're looking at, right?
Right.
We're asking the Lord to increase our faith. That's why a lively Christian life has the daily prayer, has the daily sacraments, has the perhaps a holy hour once a week or more often. It has all those components because that is how our prayer, our, you know, perhaps our fasting, our devotional life will change us. Of course, we know it won't change God because he's unchangeable, but he will change us. Remember that God can, yes, send a fireball from the sky, but more often, he chooses to use human beings, right? His beloved children.
Didn't Mother Teresa say that we are to do those small things? You know, we don't have to worry about going out and, you know, saving the whole world. We just have to do the little things that accumulate and are examples to other people to partake in that. And that's the key to it.
That's right. So remember that God sends us to a mission. Everybody's in mission. Everybody who is baptized, according to the scriptures, but also John Paul II used to repeat that, and he says that very beautifully in his encyclical or his letter called Mission of the Redeemer, Redemptoris Missio. He says very clearly, to be baptized is to be a missionary. Mm. So that lets no one off the hook. No one is off the hook.
But
no
the end of mass, we're always sent out.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say, you know, go, you are sent, except for those who have a headache, those who are too old, those who are too young, those who don't know what they're doing. It's a proclamation sent to everyone.
Right.
Okay, so I would say that if most average Catholics could use in their life is more power and more authority, more sort of understanding that they do have the authority that Jesus gives them.
Right.
As missionaries, right?
Right.
Too many times, and you and I have seen that, especially as we have spread, for instance, our Bible study, Catholic Way Bible study, but I'm sure that occurs everywhere. Most Catholics will have 3 heart attacks before they stand up before a group of people to share about what God has done for them, or before they will get up in front of good people to maybe share insights from Scripture. Why? Because they don't feel qualified. Why? Because father or sister has to do it, right?
Right.
Or some person with a PhD has to do it. Why? Because I could say something wrong. I could do something wrong. And then what happens? So it all boils down to pride, right? I could look stupid. I could look silly. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yes, it's true that it's good to wait until you're qualified to speak about certain things. However, to just speak about what God has done in your life or to be open to instruction doesn't mean that you're prideful. It just means you're available.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
God wants the power of testimony. The power of testimony and perhaps us being open to the words of knowledge that he gives us. I mean, in a certain sense, I guess that's it. The power of testimony is a result of miracles. People glorify God, and they don't look for, like, the popular opinion on this particular thing. If somebody's healed in front of you, it's very hard to refute, right?
Right.
So, again, and, you know, we live in an atmosphere of unbelief sometimes. But perhaps it doesn't matter, really, what people believe. It matters what you believe. It matters what your relationship with the Lord is. Don't get discouraged because the people around you don't know God or don't act like they don't know God or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just know that if you're there and if he loves you and you love him and you speak daily and you tell the Lord, yes, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Give me words of knowledge. Let me practice that. Believe me, the doors will open. So be very clear about that. It's very, very, very important. And so I would like to conclude this series with just sort of an overview of the kinds of things that they're talking about at the Encounter Ministries conference that's happening as we speak in Toledo. And by the time you listen to this, of course, it will be finished. But it's a wonderful array of speakers. And they begin, of course, on Thursday night, tonight, with Peter Herbeck, our dear friend, friend of this ministry, sits on our board. And the topic of his talk is, are you ready? I think that's pretty cool, you know?
That call to mission and evangelization.
Which is kind of basically what all, what Renew Ministries and what we're all about, right? So the first question we need to ask ourselves, therefore, is, are we ready? And, you know, most of us say, oh, my gosh, no, I'm not. Oh.
I'm running for the hills.
You know, if God says we're ready, and if he is ready to equip us and to stand behind us, what the heck? I mean, who are we to say, oh, no, God, you don't know what you're doing. You know, you're going to drop the ball. I'm going to be in the middle of this. And then you're going to withdraw your power and your strength. And then I'm going to be left like, you know, again, I just want to draw attention to the fact that it's all a pride. Really, it's all pride and doubt. Then the next session, the next day, is on the nuts and bolts about prophesying, about dreams and visions, which I think is important, about inner healing and freedom. Inner healing is very important. Inner healing is, we all have tapes that we run in our lives, right?
Right.
We all have stuff that goes on, you know, that causes panic and anxiety or depression or whatever, you know, but we do know that God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up wounds. Mm-hmm. So inner healing is a great way to kind of understand that. Then, of course, there's forgiveness. Forgiveness and repentance from sin are two huge keys in healing. You know, sometimes it's a barrier to healing. Sometimes we're bound up with unforgiveness and bitterness towards one person or two or three or 20. And that affects our whole life. It affects not only the ability of God to work through us, but it also affects ourselves, our physical selves, right?
Right.
So oftentimes the person who prays for healing needs to pray for forgiveness. But then maybe also the person being prayed with also needs to forgive or needs to repent, okay? There's also the fact that, and I'm reading here the list of topics that they're doing at this conference. The main point of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is evangelization. It's reaching out to others. Then there's like nuts and bolts sessions, like the keys to hearing God's voice, which is very important. And then there's a general session that Jeff Caven speaks about, preaching the gospel. And preaching the gospel is not just Father or the deacon, it's everyone, right?
If you look at their information, it states that the whole purpose of this is that we are gathering together believing for a transformation from God in his presence and the renewal of our minds. Mm-hmm. Now, why wouldn't you want to attend something like that? I mean, that's the whole crux of the matter. And as I said in that last show, it's contagious. If you're around people who are believers, it's contagious. You want that. You want to take it, and you want it for yourself, and you want to give it to others because it's a gift. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And having seen Father Matthias and attended one of these and knowing Neil and Lozano and so forth, and seeing Patrick Risu so on fire, you can't help but be transformed, and you can't help but believe that something is happening. And don't deny yourself these opportunities, I guess, is what I'm trying to encourage people when they come along. Because they will. If you ask God to open a door, help me to transform myself, it will happen.
each one of us, just be open to the words of knowledge in ministry and in daily life, and it will happen. I mean, you know, that's God's promise, right?
Right.
You know, be bold. We're so timid as Catholics, especially even the most aggressive Catholics, channel their aggression in fundraising or something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they channel their aggression in, you know, usually the hard-boiled financial types, if they volunteer at church, it's to be on the finance committee, or it's to be on, you know, how shall we raise money to build a roof, or how shall we maintain the physical? It's like, yeah, that's great, but remember that God uses the boldness that he gave you naturally, or your aggressive personality, whatever, as a gift for others. So you could also use that boldness in yielding to God and having him use you, you know?
You know, in many conversations with people, they will tell you, you know, something that's going on in their family, someone who's ill or something. And, you know, the greatest compliment I get is when people come to me and say, would you pray for so-and-so because they're sick? Well, and I will always gladly do that and get their name and information so I can add that to my prayer intentions. But I always invite them. I said, I'm not going to do this alone. You join in with me in doing this, you know?
That's right. And oftentimes I try to stop and just pray a little prayer with them right then and there, you know, involve them in it. So it's not just become this thing that I'm going to do eventually, you know, mm-hmm. And that really freaks people out. But I think it's a very practical way to solidify the fact that we're all in this together. Right. So as we close out this program, brothers and sisters, you know, it's all true. It's all real. Jesus loves us. He has not left us orphans. Mm-hmm. He's sending out his warriors to rescue the people who are dying. You know, in the end, that's the way it is. He's rescued us, and he wants help in rescuing others. So, brothers and sisters, don't you want to go out and start rescuing people? You know, remember, it depends on him and not on us. And so we close out the show by asking the Lord to send his Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining us.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.